From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in this afternoon. With major cruise tourism developments on the horizon in the capital city, the City and Borough of Juneau is resurrecting a task force to look at whether its current approach to managing tourism is working. At a Juneau Assembly Committee meeting last night, members approved the relaunch of the Visitor Industry Task Force and its members. Mary Beth Walden says the task force will be crucial in informing the direction the city takes to guide any future growth.
There is some issues that need to be addressed, and our tourism director relies heavily on these recommendations on how to move forward with her job. So that's one of the reasons we're doing this.
Juneau saw another record-breaking cruise ship tourism season this past summer, with more than 1.7 million passengers coming off ships and into town. The task force launches as Gold Belt Incorporated is planning a new $500 million cruise ship port on the backside of Douglas Island. And that plan coincides with another dock development by Huna Totem Corporation, an Alaska Native Village corporation based in Huna. The assembly approved the corporation's plan to build a new cruise ship dock in downtown Juneau this spring. Weldon says she wants the task force to make big picture recommendations, like a 10-year tourism plan for Juneau. She also wants them to tackle more specific issues like addressing crowding and congestion in Auk Bay, regulating the whale watching industry, and reducing cruise ship emissions. Assembly member Ella Atkinson will chair the committee, along with 8 members that Weldon handpicked. Some members are returning from the previous task force, which originally sunsetted in 2020. Weldon says they represent a wide range of perspectives on tourism's future.
I would say this community is no longer deadly against, as a community as a whole, deadly against tourism, nor are we a community that's opening our gates wide for tourism.
The task force has until the end of June to submit its recommendations to the assembly. The first ship of the 2026 cruise season is slated to arrive in late April. Eagle Crest Ski Area is slated to open for its 50th season this Saturday, and there's a lot to talk about ahead of the season, like lift conditions, the status of the gondola, and the actual likelihood of opening on time. KTOO's Mike Lane sat down with Craig Simmons, the general manager of the city-owned ski area, to talk about all of it.
Welcome, Craig, first off.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Opening day is this Saturday, December 6th.
We are shooting hard for it, yeah. We will know better and officially Wednesday or Thursday. We blew a bunch of snow on the Porcupine terrain. We got to push it around. We've been letting it sit and drain. And so we'll push it around and we'll announce officially a formal opening or not Wednesday or Thursday. But we're working hard for it. I just don't want to say anything official yet, but it should happen.
So it's starting to look like a winter wonderland up there.
Oh, yeah. We blew a bunch of snow and then it snowed several inches. It was really magical, and the parking lot filled with skiers and snowboarders. So it's been great.
Eagle Crest has previously announced that Black Bear Lift is permanently closed. Is there any update as far as what's happening with the infrastructure at Eagle Crest?
Yeah, there's a ton to talk about. Yeah, so unfortunately, Black Bear is closed. People keep asking if we're going to fix it. It's not worth fixing. It's a very old lift. They got their money's worth for it. It's in a very old design that the industry has moved away from, so it's smarter to put that time and energy into the other lifts right now. The other three lifts, Porcupine, Ptarmigan, and Hooter, are in incredibly good shape and ready to go. So the infrastructure is in, the staff who have been there for a while would say it's in the best shape it's been in years.
And what's the life expectancy of the other three lifts, and how often are those maintained?
They're constantly maintained. It never really ends. It's just, there's so many moving parts on them. You're just constantly greasing things and replacing things and checking on things. The life expectancy of those three lifts, they are at the end of their life for sure, but they're in good shape. So we'll get plenty more years out of them, but we need to really start talking about a replacement plan for Ptarmigan, the main lift.
Can skiers still access the runs that Black Bear was servicing?
Yeah, for sure. You have to hike up. You have to walk up a bit from the top of Ptarmigan up to the Black Bear. But so 100% of the terrain is still accessible. It's just not via the lift.
This January marks 50 years since Eagle Crest has been in operation. So what, if anything, is planned for the milestone?
So, yeah, we are so excited about 50 years. 50 years is a big deal. So January 16th is the anniversary, the 50th anniversary. Right now we're planning a couple of things. We're going to do night skiing that night. That's a Friday. So Friday night we have lights on the Porcupine terrain. We did a couple night events last year and they were a huge success. So we're really excited to do those again. We'll get music going and make it a whole party and a scene and invite everyone to come up. We're also going to do all-day lift tickets there are only $7 because that's the price Eagle Crest lift tickets were when they opened 50 years ago. So, yeah, $7 lift tickets that day, big party that night. And then we also were planning something for that Saturday as well. Everyone should just pay attention to our socials and everything, and we're going to make this year as much of a party as we can because it's 50 years, and then we're going to, like, kick off the next 50 years.
Now, can we talk about the gondola?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you give us any updates on its timeline and how that's being paid for?
The timeline is the same it's been. It's got to open in by summer of 2028. Everything's still moving forward. We still have the initial investment from Goldbelt. It has become clear that we will need more money to install it, and you know the world has changed since Eagle Crest bought that. How much more money we'll need and where that money comes from, we don't know yet. Once the general contractor is hired, they're going to give us a price on what it will cost to finish the build, and then we're going to know how much short we are from the initial $10 million, and then we'll figure out where we get that money from. So that's still to be determined.
Craig, is there anything you'd like to add to this before we wrap up?
Yeah, I was thinking about that a lot. You know, I've been here just over a year, and it's incredible the difference a year makes. From a year ago to now, the infrastructure's in better shape, that we're staffed better, our retention rate is incredible. We have tons of employees coming back. So we're so much better set up for this winter. We're really excited about this winter. For all of those reasons, we're more prepared. We're more of a team than we were a year ago. A lot of us were new last year, including myself. And it's our 50th. So it's all really coming together. So yeah, I'm just like really overly excited about how set up we are for this winter. It's going to be a really good one.
Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Oh yeah, anytime.
That was KTOO's Mike Lane speaking with Eagle Crest General Manager Craig Simmons. And a portion of the lucrative Bristol Bay Red King crab harvest nearly went to waste this season. A catcher processor that was set to take the crab was forced to shut down, leaving a good chunk of the catch to spoil in fishermen's tanks. But as KUCB's Maggie Nelson reports, the city of Unalaska stepped in to take those crab deliveries and is now making sure St. Paul, the original recipient of that crab, gets its cut of seafood taxes.
Unalaska's natural resource analyst Frank Kelty told city council members Tuesday night that in early November, about 135,000 pounds of Red King crab was nearly left to spoil.
This was a really rushed deal. People were concerned that northern crab was going to face some dead loss issues if it didn't get taken care of.
A portion of the Bristol Bay Red King crab harvest must be delivered to a North Region processor. But the only facility for that region was forced to shut down after its boiler broke down. With crab in their tanks, a group of fishermen had nowhere to land their catch. And at a dock price starting at around $12 per pound, that would have been a hit of at least $1.6 million just to those fishermen. That's when the city of Unalaska stepped in. Mayor Vince Tudikoff Sr. says they had to act fast.
We need to get some agreement in place within the 12 hours. So we had two or three meetings in those short period of time.
The city sent the agreement to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, who approved the deal. And that million-dollar catch was saved. This wasn't the first time Unalaska has made an agreement like this. Earlier this year, the island processed St. Paul's northern snow crab shares after the only processor in the region, Trident Seafoods, closed for the season. Under the agreement, Unalaska gave St. Paul certain taxes that it would normally receive for those landings. Now the city has approved a similar contract for the red crab it processed this month. Kelty says Unalaska will withhold taxes on the catch and remit those to St. Paul.
Basically, it'd be about $95,000 in fish tax revenue going to St. Paul for this 135,000 pounds of crab.
St. Paul's City Council has already approved the agreement. It will go before the Pribilof Islands mayor for a signature for finalization. Trident Seafoods announced recently that it won't be opening its St. Paul processing plant again this snow crab season. Kelty says officials will need to finalize and sign a separate agreement for Unalaska to process St. Paul's shares of that fishery. Reporting for KUCB, I'm Maggie Nelson.
An endangered whale was found dead near Kodiak earlier this month. Scientists believe it was caught in some kind of old fishing gear. As KMXT's Brian Venwall reports, it's at least the 15th dead humpback reported around the archipelago this year.
Humpback whales are a common sight around Kodiak's waterways, often reported breaching and splashing near fishing boats. But sometimes, like earlier this month, they're reported entangled or dead. Matt Vandale, the Shunack Tribe of Kodiak's Natural Resources Director, was one of the responders in mid-November. He's been training for years to help save entangled whales, but this one likely died about a week before it was reported.
She was about 28 feet long, had a pretty massive, severe entanglement. The entanglement was probably initially a line that she got through her mouth and was not able to free herself, and then started spinning, and she had three or four wraps around her tail stalk.
Vandale and officials from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and Alaska State Parks found the whale stuck to the bottom of the water. She was found with several cuts around her body from the line, some 6 inches deep. Humpbacks can generally hold their breath for up to 45 minutes. Vandale says it likely died from a mix of exhaustion and drowning. The team didn't do a full necropsy. However, he estimated it was just a year old when it died.
It's really frustrating and a bummer that she wasn't spotted while she was still alive, because she would have been a perfect candidate to attempt a disentanglement.
Vandale and the other biologists removed the gear, but it wasn't immediately clear what type of fishing it was used for.
The main thing right now is just trying to figure out what this gear is and where she may have encountered it.
The metal is heavily rusted and tangled, so there's a lot of uncertainty. He brought some fishermen in to try to identify it. The leading guesses are longline gear or some sort of derelict pot. Vandale says there is a silver lining, though.
It did give the Kodiak team excellent opportunity to practice with whale disentanglements, albeit on a dead one, but it was a very good, safe, controlled situation.
He says any entangled marine mammals should be reported to the federal government's hotline or directly to the tribe for them to start working with federal officials. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Benoit.
The 24-hour marine mammal stranding hotline is 1-877-925-7773. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 43 degrees and raining. We're expecting some more rain tonight and tomorrow and into Thursday. This is KTOO.